Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another day of questions for convicted Jeffrey Epstein co-conspirator Ghislaine Maxwell. The deputy attorney generals in Florida, as Democrats and Republicans in Washington continue clamoring for the White House to release the full Epstein files. More scorchingly hot temperatures, 140 million Americans from Texas up through Maine under heat warnings and alerts today. A merger long in the making is finally given the green light.
The Trump administration has approved the $8 billion merger of Skydance Media and Paramount. The FCC chair says he welcomes Skydance's commitment to make changes at CBS, which is owned by Paramount, including a pledge not to establish programs related to DEI.
ABC's Rihanna Nally. The United States has walked away from ceasefire talks on the Middle East as aid groups say one in four children and pregnant women are currently suffering from malnutrition in Gaza. The roof of a middle school collapsed in western India, seven children killed. This is ABC News.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission is sharing helpful tips with residents on keeping their homes cool while also saving energy. With another stretch of hot weather rolling through the state, residents looking to stay cool and save money can take some simple steps like keeping their blinds and curtains closed, unplugging electronics like their television when they're not being used, and making sure their air conditioner's filter is clean. Officials are also reminding residents that it is illegal for utility companies to disconnect electrical services during a heat advisory. A recent Milwaukee Journal Sentinel analysis found that the number of immigration arrests in Wisconsin has doubled since President Donald Trump's second term began. According to the analysis, the average number of ICE arrests in the state jumped from 37 per month to 85 per month. The analysis also found that the rate of people without criminal records being arrested in the state is five times higher compared to the end of President Joe Biden's term. That includes people who are accused of immigration violations, which are mostly civil offenses, not criminal offenses. The American Red Cross is highlighting a number of blood donation events in the Northwest Wisconsin region over the next few weeks. Organization officials say keeping up with donation needs is especially difficult during the summer months. They say hospitals across the country are specifically in need of more blood platelets and type O blood during this time of year, but donations of all kinds are needed as well. The next blood drive event is scheduled for July 30th and 31st in Rice Lake, with opportunities in Barron and Chautauqua throughout August. The Duluth Economic Development Authority and City Council terminated the contract with the developer of a $500 million housing project this week. The project would have seen the former Duluth Central High School site converted into a housing complex called Incline Village. The city had previously given the developer 45 days to meet certain deadlines, pay taxes on the property, or provide proof that they could fund the project going forward. The developer requested another extension, saying he's suing his bank for not providing the funds. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Watch out for Matthew Golden. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden is turning heads on the practice field, the first-round pick catching short passes, then turning up field for big gains, Packers safety Evan Williams.
Obviously, it's the first couple days, so we'll see how he can consistently go. But, I mean, to know that you have a guy like that that can, you know, bring a level of explosiveness to the offense, you know, it's exciting, man.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a series against the Marlins in Milwaukee. Will they make a trade before the deadline next week? Pat Murphy says, let's not discuss in front of the players.
You just can't let it get in there. I'll answer questions. I'll openly talk about different things that they're discussing, but that's their job, the front office, and they do a great job of it. Yeah, I'm just worried about this club, the group in the clubhouse right now, and what's going on with them, and I don't want them looking over their shoulder or whatever, and I just want them thinking about, hey, how can I help the team win tonight? How do I help?
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm, are low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms possible with a high right around 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com, Frank Anderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Wisconsin music expert Terry Barr joins the show with new music and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here in Oshkosh, live on this Friday morning, July 25th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing our fabulous show in our fabulous studio, Madison Studio A2. Coming up, we're going to hear from County Executive Gordon Hintz in just a bit. Also, it is Free Ticket Friday, your chance to win some Brewers tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon. We'll give you the keyword to Texas coming up in just a bit. Our Week in Review panel is here as well. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. Of course, we'll be talking about reaction to Governor Tony Evers and his announcement that he will not be running for a third term next year, opening up just a wide open primary for Democrats, for Republicans, and not just for the governor's race, but for lieutenant governor. And theoretically, possibly attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on what Josh Call and Sarah Godlewski and others decide to do. Could open up some legislative seats if some legislators decide to run for other offices. So there are just huge ramifications that we're going to get into, all put in place by Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. So that is all still to come, along with State Assembly Representative Lee Snodgrass and also Mike Clemens with sports. But first, we did get a chance to talk to my former legislative colleague, Gordon Hintz, who got back into elected office recently, ran for and won the position here in Oshkosh, Winnebago County Executive. And so I started by asking him a bit about the role. We get into the level of county government and what it provides, the difference from being a state legislator, all with County Executive Gordon Hintz. And we are joined now by Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz. Gordon, hello. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Pat. Good to be here.
It's good to see you again. It's been a while since we were serving under the big white dome together there and doing other things. My other thing eventually included radio. Your other thing eventually included being a county executive. Tell me about the path to that. What made you decide to run for local elected office?
Yeah, well, now that I'm older, about 25 years ago, I went to grad school wanting to be a city manager, you know, and I went out to California after grad school to do a local government management assistant program, was a budget analyst, but then I kind of got fired up about politics, returned to Wisconsin, ran for the state assembly, eventually, you know, getting elected, serving 16 years in the state legislature. I took a break after getting myself out, working for the Wisconsin laborers, you know, doing workforce development and partnering with our union contractors, which was a great experience. But I realized I really missed public service. I missed being involved in community. And I don't think I ever lost interest in local government. I think I was burned out on partisan politics, on legislative politics, but I still felt the calling for public service. I got encouraged by people in the community to consider running, thinking we needed more professional government, and got back in running. It was a different kind of campaign, And it's really a different kind of role being the county executive, you know, than it was sort of being a legislator. So it's my 100th day on the job. It's been a challenge, but, you know, I think I've realized certain things about myself and what I'm motivated to do and what I enjoy in terms of the kind of work I do.
Well, you get to do all sorts of things on policy, and we'll talk about local government, but there is that those things that are also front-facing, very public. This week is one as big as it gets for Air Venture being in Oshkosh. What's the week been like so far?
It's been great. The weather has mostly been cooperative, which is what we like to see. I don't think we've had any major incidents. On Monday, I've gone the EAA tour before, where we go out with Air Adventure. I used to invite legislators up to kind of see the world's biggest air show. I went out with our airport director and did it from a county standpoint, since it's the county airport. It's sort of the big deal to drive around, get an idea of how things work, the partnership between the county and EAA. But all indications are things that are going well. We just got an economic impact study that shows what the benefit to the community is. EAA continues to grow, continues to be a part of the community for what has been a great long-term partnership. But it's definitely, the traffic is busier in Oshkosh. The businesses and restaurants are full. But it's, yeah, I think it's a good relationship, even for the community that may not be in airplanes.
Yes, I mean, and a lot of it, these are nice. They're nice problems to have. Other communities would like to have some of those problems for 1 or 2 weeks a year. So let's talk about county government itself. And you come at it from an executive standpoint now as a former legislator. And I come at it as, you know, I mean, that was my first beat, was covering county boards. I have long since lost count of how many county board and county board committee meetings I covered, you know, all throughout Northwest Wisconsin over the years. But it's something most people don't think about. So when you do get that puzzled look, when you tell somebody you're the county executive, what is it about the county level of government in Wisconsin, especially, that is so instrumental to the everyday lives of our communities?
Yeah, I mean, we are arms of the state. We have mandated services that the state requires the county to implement, you know, everything from, administering, you know, badger care, child support services, legal services, aging and long-term care, other social services. You know, human services are probably the biggest part of the, county agencies. But you know, the sheriff's office, public health, the highway department, but it's not, you know, I think people identify with the school district. They know what schools do. They identify with their municipality. They know they call the police, the garbage gets picked up, the snow gets plowed. But a lot of the county services, if you don't have a direct interaction with them, you may not be as familiar. You know, if you're not using some of those services, if you're not, using the nursing home, if you don't know somebody involved. And I think that's something that we need to do a better job of, promoting the work that the county does so that the public gets it, and that we make sure that the priorities of the county are in line with what the priorities of the community are. And I realized it during the campaign, and I realize it, you know, more being executive. It's incredible to hear that when you were covering the news on TV that you actually covered county government, given how little attention it seems to receive now. And we're, you know, trying to work on that, you know, with traditional and non-traditional media. But, you know, we're up against the same challenges in this environment that everybody is.
Without a doubt. And yet you have to be, you know, responsive. You are local that way. And so let's close by looking at your first 100 days in office, and then maybe the next 100. Tell me something that you've been very happy with, that you've done new in the position. And then what's something that you're really hoping to accomplish in the next 100 days, or well into what may be your first term?
Well, I mean, prioritizing engagement with the public, especially our municipal partners, you know, reaching out to the other local governments in the county. You know, Winnebago County is sort of the northern part of the county, Neenah, Menasha, Fox Cities, which probably identify with Appleton more. And then Oshkosh, it's its own thing. And then the western communities, we're sort of divided into thirds, and trying to get everybody focused on what can Winnebago County do? How can we partner as, you know, with municipalities and with other nonprofits. You know, I've been trying to build those relationships and make everybody know that we are going to be a partner. Probably the biggest thing that we've been spending time on is the acquisition of UW Fox. The closed, you know, they closed the 2-year campus. We had co-owned it with Outagamie County. We've since, you know, my first day, the board bought them out for $1. We were able to preserve the existing childcare center there, maintain the Barlow Planetarium, but we're working on a redevelopment plan for the campus of 43 acres to hopefully not only make it financially sustainable to preserve the theater and the field house and the public amenities people appreciate, but also get some development that increases, that adds tax base for the county and for the community. And so, you know, getting us to this point have been so far, but we've got a lot of work to do, but that's been what's consumed a lot of the first 100 days. And the next 100 days will involve a lot of budget development, and that'll be continued to be transparent, engage the public. I want to, you know, we're going to propose the budget a month earlier than normal so we can take it on the road, so we can do some town halls, so we can hit the Rotary clubs and really use it as an opportunity to promote the good work that county government does.
County Executive for Winnebago County, Gordon Hintz. Gordon, great to catch up with you. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the new job. Wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Nice to talk to him as we are here live in Oshkosh this morning. Just in time to cover some breaking news. Got here just as Governor Tony Evers was making the announcement that he would not run for a third term next year. And Parker, I wanted to start a game from this. I wanted to say, okay, look, we're going to get probably a dozen candidates.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a list of like a dozen names or so of potential candidates, and then have people guess the order in which they were going to announce.
Ooh, I like that.
And then see who was closest. Unfortunately, the game's already underway.
Yeah.
We already have the first two names on the list, as Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez made official this morning that she is going to be a candidate for governor. The Lieutenant Governor has been with Governor Evers on this first term. You'll recall Mandela Barnes was Lieutenant Governor during Governor Evers' first term and then left that post to campaign for U.S. Senate. Sarah Rodriguez, a former emergency room nurse, now saying officially that she is a candidate for governor next year. Right on its heels, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley put out a statement as well that said, quote, in the weeks ahead, I will be taking steps toward entering the race for governor. The stakes are simply too high to sit on the sidelines. So there you have it. Not 24 hours removed from Governor Evers' decision not to run for a third term, and you already have the first two Democratic candidates in the race. You have two announced Republican candidates in the race, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and businessman Bill Berrien. And so you have two Democrats, two Republicans, and trust me, many, many more will be getting in the race. These will be wide open primaries August of next year, which is not, again, a wide open primary is not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. It just is. We have an open race for the first time in well over a decade. And so when you have that situation come up, expect a whole bunch of people to be introducing themselves to you and asking you for your vote. That August primary is going to be super important. So as we get approaching that, you know, just over a year from now, realize the value of not just waiting for November to vote for governor, but you're going to be asked to pick from a large field of candidates for governor, for lieutenant governor, and potentially for attorney general, secretary of state, state treasurer, depending on who all gets in and how all the dominoes fall, which started with Governor Evers' announcement yesterday. A local update is next for some of you. Our Week in Review panel is on the way as well. But first, it is Free Ticket Friday. So tell you really quick here, get that Civic Media app. Go to one of the stations, use the text feature, and text us the word BREW, B-R-E-W. Not Brewers. I saw that in one or two folks, but BREW, B-R-E-W. You're in the running for a statewide drawing to win four tickets to the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon at American Family Field. From the heart of America's up north, live from Oshkosh this Friday, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In February of 2024, Governor Tony Evers signed new maps for the Wisconsin State Legislature into law, putting an end to one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country. While that was a momentous achievement for democracy in the state, that wasn't the end of the story. Since then, for more than a year, Fair Maps advocates and pro-democracy activists have been looking to take the next step and propose a new plan for independent redistricting in Wisconsin that would be here for the long haul. It's a compelling, well-constructed plan that would take the job of drawing maps away from the politicians who run for office on those very maps. In this new feature story, I take a closer look inside this citizen-led grassroots effort as it goes from the idea phase to being presented to the public. Because we absolutely need a long-term solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin so we don't end up seeing either political party gerrymander Wisconsin's maps ever again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a busy Friday morning here live from Oshkosh on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. If you missed it a bit ago, not only have we been talking about Governor Tony Evers announcing he would not run for re-election, he will not run for a third term next year, but the first couple of candidates have already announced on the Democratic side. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez announces she will run for governor, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he is preparing to announce a race for governor of his own. Of course, there are several other folks that are said to be considering a run in this wide-open primary, and so we will be tracking all of that in the coming weeks and months ahead. But let's turn our attention to our Week in Review panel. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, we've got journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze here as well. And I'm going to start with our Chicago area journalists first, because even though you're not up here in America's Dairyland, you follow enough news and enough politics, including from here next door, that if I were to ask you to say something about Governor Tony Evers and his significance from a national political standpoint, what he did with a Republican legislature and things like that, I am safely assuming you guys have some thoughts on that. Mark, let's start with you this morning.
Yeah, I think he's really earned a reputation as someone who's really clear spoken, and you know where he stands. He doesn't try to, sneak around or do. He doesn't play politics. He actually plays government, and the reputation of Tony Evers down one state south of Wisconsin is really pretty solid. And in some ways, I feel really when I heard the news, I kind of groaned. I wanted him to stay governor.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, before I go to you, I think another way of putting it is Senator Tammy Baldwin told us Tony embodies the best of the Wisconsin way. He knows what is right. He's willing to fight for it, but is a level-headed Midwestern nice guy, always willing to bridge divides if it's right for the state. Is that the impression that you think others got from outside our borders?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like Mark said, a focus on government, not politics.
I think is what Americans are hungry for. At least I know we are here in Illinois, and we're lucky to have a solid governor also. But the other thing about Tony Evers is he held the line, because I hate to think what would have happened in Wisconsin had one of his Republican challengers won in either election. We see like what's happened in Virginia with Glenn Youngkin there, even though there's it's a purple state at best, right? He's done some terrible things there more recently with the universities. I can't imagine what would have happened. I know the University of Wisconsin's been facing some challenges with the legislature there, but Tony Evers has been good for Wisconsin. He's been good for the Midwest, and he's been good for the country.
And Jim Santel, of course, you know, you being a former U.S. attorney here in Wisconsin, have seen even closer the impact that the governor's had during what is going to be his 8 years in office.
Absolutely. And we sometimes think about these issues plainly at a time when we were going to have lots of candidates. Remember 2010? I think we had 14 on the Democratic side alone. The reality is that when you're electing governor, and maybe also, as you said, a new treasurer, a new secretary of state, maybe a new attorney general, all these other races, it does have a connection to these larger federal issues. The notion that somehow government between state and federal is completely divided, that's not how our country is organized. And I will tell you, as U.S. attorney for just about 6.5 years or so, assistant U.S. attorney before that, lots and lots of connections between state government, all those entities, and what your federal government is doing, not just in the U.S. attorney's office, but in many other federal agencies right here in Wisconsin. It has a direct connection with what you think about and what you perceive to be the role of federal government when it comes to electing all of these state offices too. As we begin to identify all these candidates and all these positions, likely important for people to remember that as well. You want to change federal government these days, you can have an impact upon it by your state decisions.
Mark, the first candidate to announce was Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And I see that the quote that is already being pulled from her announcement goes like this. "We've got a maniac in the White House. His tariffs are killing our farmers and his policies are hurting our kids." That's probably some solid political advice she was given to lead with Trump, because certainly whoever wants Trump's nomination on the Republican side isn't going to shy away from the president either.
Yeah, well, and you see Trump's approval rating is really, you know, slipping. I mean, he's below 40% now. And, you know, even on issues like immigration, you know, so we'll have to see what happens between now and the midterms. But I think running against Trump is a smart political move. And it is refreshing to hear her not like mince words. You know, I mean, he really is behaving like a maniac. His whole, you know, I mean, he's behaving as if there's no Constitution. He's tearing everything down.
Well, he's also been able to, you know, do that and get away with it a lot. Yeah. One of the things we'll talk about after the next break is, you know, by having his political appointee at the FCC there to, you know, push Stephen Colbert out the door before they could approve the merger between Paramount and Skydance, something that happened yesterday. And Jennifer's written about that with her column over in Substack, Indistinct Chatter. Mark, meanwhile, has been writing about the feeding frenzy that finally is feeding on Trump, which is not something we thought we'd ever see. But we also didn't expect really the complete 180 that Trump is doing on the Epstein files. And so we've got a lot of ground to cover there. Of course, there's no shortage of legal news that Jim Santel will tell us about as well, hosting Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, starting at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. But here on the network, some of the stations anyway, there will also be baseball coming up this afternoon, the Brewers versus the Miami Marlins. Coverage will begin at 2:35 on stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, Hayward, and right here in Oshkosh on WISS. And again, it's free ticket Friday. If you text BREW to us using the Civic Media app, go to one of the stations, text the word BREW, B-R-E-W. You could be in the running, a statewide drawing for 4 tickets to next Wednesday afternoon's game, the Brewers versus the Cubs. Live from Oshkosh this morning to get our weekend going, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It's estimated that some 87% of U.S. agricultural businesses were using some type of artificial intelligence as late as 2021. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. It could be something relative to software, or it could be something like auto steering guidance. Whatever form of artificial intelligence your farm is using, be careful. That's the advice of Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was in Wisconsin this week sharing his insights on this new technology and how we should carefully be using it.
For example, we saw drone spraying the other day, spot drones on the dairy farms. We have all the information, got the robotic milkers, etc. So it's going to accelerate strategic decision making. But one of the things you got to be really careful is that it's not always going to give you accurate information. And so what you have to do is you still have to have the human filter. And the other thing AI is going to be, it's like you. We're doing this interview. AI could do the interview, but it's your nonverbal communication and being able to interact. That the more you go high tech, the more you have to have the human and the high touch.
Dr. David Cole, Professor Emeritus of Agriculture and Applied Economics at Virginia Tech College. He was a guest in Wisconsin this week, cautioning that artificial intelligence only as good as the human operators overseeing it.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board has become a platinum sponsor of the Wisconsin FFA. Shane Goplin, Secretary of the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board, says they are the future of agriculture and they're happy to support the team. One of the messages you may note in the future is their promotion of unleaded 88 fuel that the officer team will be using to travel the state. That's a look at food news on a Friday. I'm PM Yonke.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm, are low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms possible with a high right around 86. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 61.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for childcare in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We're on the road at WGBW in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about all things Green Bay. And also, the Packers are back at training camp. We'll discuss it. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. We're live in Oshkosh on this Friday morning, July 25th, and back to our Week in Review panel in just a moment, right after a reminder that you can sign up for our newsletters here at Up North News. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner. I will be putting together our Sunday morning newsletter real soon about the week in Wisconsin politics. Gosh, what will I write about? Whatever will I find to talk about? I'm sure there will be something in there, including a question of the week and the responses to this week's question, which was, what do you think of candidates that run ads super early, like more than a year before the election, as Bill Berrien is doing? Well, in hindsight, it's looking like a pretty good move right now. He's got to boost his name ID as more Republicans start to get into this race. But does it work with voters or not? So again, sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Yes, Tony, I agree with what he put on YouTube here. It's going to be a fun year. Yes, fun. Let's put it that way. Fun is the way that we're going to go. Jennifer Scholz is here, Mark Jacob, and Jim Santel as well. Jennifer, the last your last issue of Indistinct Chatter in Substack was all about the potential merger between Paramount and Skydance, which would include CBS and Stephen Colbert being shown the door. But what to me, what really takes the cake is the statement from the FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr, who is a Trump loyalist, when he says in approving the merger, quote, "Americans no longer trust the legacy national media to report fully, accurately, and fairly. It's time for a change. That's why I welcome Skydance's commitment to make significant changes at the once storied CBS broadcast network." Well, knowing what we know about how the leadership at Skydance is also friendly toward Trump, this seems like a particularly sad occasion, Jennifer, taking us one step closer to state-controlled media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible decision, and we should all be horrified by it. I can't imagine what's going to happen to CBS or how quickly it's going to change. It's going to change. The question is, how quickly is it going to change, and how will we see it? Will it be a slow moving thing? Will it be sudden? Everybody's gone. But it is so startling to see one of the grandest broadcasters and journalism entities in our modern time taken over in this way. And we should all be really, really concerned about it. It's a very bad thing for the country. Very bad.
And so while we're concerned about it, Mark, the question becomes, what does everybody else do about it? Now, we've seen, you know, ABC capitulate in some way, shape, or form. Meanwhile, we've seen the Wall Street Journal, of all places, being the one most likely to punch back. What is it that other media sites are going to have to do once they see CBS change, which, as Jennifer said, it's almost certain that CBS will?
Well, I think the real problem is corporate media that cares way more about profits than about doing good journalism. You know, and that was totally the case with Paramount and the CBS thing. You know, there are some good outlets. You know, there is ProPublica. There's The Guardian is, you know, based in the UK, but it does one of the best jobs of reporting on American media of anyone. Now, the Wall Street Journal thing is kind of odd because that's Rupert Murdoch, the same guy who owns Fox News. But my feeling about that is that Rupert Murdoch is just serving his customers, and the Wall Street Journal customers want facts and truth, and the Fox News customers want to be lied to, and he's very happy to serve both audiences.
In your newest newsletter of Stop the Presses, get it at stopthepresses.news, the headline is, "A Feeding Frenzy Finally Feasts on Trump," and that takes us to the Jeffrey Epstein saga, which again is unnecessarily convoluted when you had a whole bunch of people saying release the files, and now the president of the United States is saying actually there's nothing there and it was a hoax, and you supporters of mine, you're stupid if you believe it. Small wonder this has backfired, Mark.
No, yeah, I'm surprised about two things regarding this. You know, one, that the news media actually picked up on it, you know, because this has frankly been an underplayed story for a decade, you know, none of the Trump scandals have really taken hold the way they should. And this one certainly didn't, but then he obviously he promised his followers that he'd release files and then the client list, and then the client list doesn't exist. And so I understand why they're mad about it. So I was surprised that the media stayed on it and is still staying on it. And we're almost up to the third week. And the other thing I'm surprised about is that Trump has botched the issue so badly. I mean, when you announce to your followers that, you know, stop talking about this, they're not going to stop talking about it. That's the sure way to get people to talk more about it, is when you demand that they stop talking about it.
The one thing here, Jim Santel, that is troubling to me, and I know it is troubling to you, though, is how they are trying to distract, how they're trying to cover their tracks, or how they're trying to change the direction. Specifically, a deputy attorney general meeting with the imprisoned Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Epstein's accomplice in all of this, the one who could say with any certainty that Donald Trump did or didn't have any untoward activity along with Jeffrey Epstein, but now he's president of the United States. So when a political appointee like this meets with her to either issue promises or threats, I mean, that meeting yesterday also crossed some kind of a line in my mind. How about you?
And to what end? What are we doing here inside the Department of Justice? She has already been convicted, as we all know, of the very offense conduct with which Jeffrey Epstein was also charged. He was not tried, of course, because he committed suicide before that happened. But what are we doing here in connection with some legitimate law enforcement purpose? It underscores this notion we've got just not unfounded conspiracies about unfounded conspiracies. And now we've got the second highest person in the Department of Justice, who apparently the bidding of our president is saying, okay, meet with her to do what? What is it you're going to accomplish? We already know that inside the Department of Justice, if they want to produce it, it's not the grand jury transcripts. It never was. There's a huge file sitting there. There's nothing more to prosecute. There's nothing more to investigate aside from supporting the many victims out there, which this administration needs to do. If you want to bring this to an end, release all those materials. Let there be another feeding frenzy about all of that. Who knows what's inside of that, but be done with this. The larger issue, of course, Pat, as we've talked about, is Donald Trump, and getting back to Mark's point, he set this fire, as Chris Christie is saying, when he basically decided, I'm going to be involved in all kinds of things related to the Department of Justice, tearing down that arm's length wall that has always existed between the White House and 9th and Constitution. He has basically said, I'm going to tell you who to prosecute, what to do, who to investigate. And if he had not done that and said, you know what, all of this related to Department of Justice, case-specific stuff, he could have legitimately, in the tradition of every president before him, distanced himself. Instead, as Mark and Jennifer said, jumped in full head, and now he has set the fire. He cannot control the blaze anymore, to mix metaphors here.
Let's move from the White House and from the Department of Justice over to the Capitol building, Jennifer, where, yeah, Donald Trump's having a bad week, but boy, so is Speaker Mike Johnson, who actually sent Congress home early to their summer recess to avoid hoping it would go away. Jennifer, it's not going to go away when Congress comes back. This is going to be maybe the worst recess ever for some of these members.
Well, on a couple of topics, not just Epstein, right? We already know that Republicans are being counseled not to hold town hall meetings again, because remember how well that went when constituents were upset about the Doge cuts. Constituents are now upset about lots of things. They want the Epstein information, but they're also really worried about these Medicaid cuts, SNAP cuts, the ACA premiums going up, and other things like that. And I think that Republicans, if any of them do show their face in public, now that they have a 6-week vacation, it will be a really difficult time for them. I think it's also a good time for the press to really hone in on some of the specifics of these issues that the Republicans are trying not to talk about, because there are going to be a lot of really drastic impacts on people and very soon.
Mark, when as part of the distraction, you had Trump and others, Tulsi Gabbard, Ron Johnson, Derek Van Orden, going so far as to try to talk about, you know, arresting Barack Obama for the 2016 Russia influence in the investigation, and Tulsi Gabbard's deliberate misconstruing of documents related to 2016. It all felt very outrageous yesterday and the day before, and it still is. But Mark, I feel like by now it's become clear that that's been one more thing they're trying. Their base has always been wanting to arrest Obama for some reason. But if they thought that that was going to be a successful distraction, it doesn't appear to be so.
Well, anything works with their base. I mean, yeah. Their base is, you know, just doesn't care about facts. You know, whatever Trump wants to do is great. But that's not a majority. It's not even close to majority. And the rest of the people who, you know, still have thinking brains in their heads are I think that they see this for what it is. I mean, when you see them dredging up like Hillary and Obama, I mean, that's old news, folks. You know, I mean, and the Obama thing is just dishonesty by Tulsi Gabbard, who we knew what she was when she was named. In fact, Trump knew what she was when she was named, and that's why he named her. You know, she's very pro-Russian. She doesn't really have any respect for democracy. She doesn't have any respect for the facts, because when you look into the Obama thing, it makes no sense. And a bipartisan congressional report on the whole issue, endorsed strongly by Marco Rubio, found that there was no problem there.
Yeah, and it was, again, when I say ham-handed, it was just so apparent and blatant that she took documents that said there's no evidence that Russia meddled in the election and changed votes in voting machines to there's no evidence Russia meddled in the elections, period. Jim Santel, you try something like that from a legal standpoint, and I think you get in a little trouble.
You'll have your head handed to you by any federal district court judge, any appellate court judge, would say, Mr. Santel, let me read to you the rest of the sentence, the rest of the report. And it is a part of, as all four of us are saying, it's a part of the deception. It is linguistic gymnastics of the worst kind. It is relying upon the notion, which apparently is true for some portions of our population, they do not have the capacity to do the critical thinking and say, wait a minute, let's figure out what the rest of that sentence is all about. Let's figure out what the truth is. And at least on this, I am bright enough to know that this is not the case. This administration depends on people not understanding everything from how government works to how basic language works to how, even inside my world, how criminal charges work, what things happen in the civil courts. And therefore, you can take these little nuggets of words, twist them around, and maintain that that's how things have always been. It is deceptive. It is really cynical also at the highest level. The president basically is saying, I know the American people are not bright enough to call me out on this, so I can go down this road. And then the Tulsi Gabbards and the others, including the attorney general, can follow in suit. The president has in the past said, you know, I love an uneducated people. You've seen that now once again.
Yeah, without a doubt. Jim Santel has Amicus Law Review. You can hear it Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock on civic media stations, and a playback on Sunday morning. Of course, we've got Mark Jacobs' newsletter at stopthepresses.news, also through Courier Newsroom, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is on Substack. A local update is next for some of you. Others will continue our discussion here with the panel as we head into the weekend, along with Mike Clemens and State Representative Lee Snodgrass in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect You just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your reminder that it's Free Ticket Friday, and we are giving away 4 tickets, club-level seats to see the Brewers-Cubs game next Wednesday afternoon. Get to that Civic Media app and be entered in a statewide drawing. If you can text us the word BREW, B-R-E-W, before 9 a.m., there'll be more chances to win throughout the day, more keywords, and then one statewide drawing to see who gets those great tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs playing next week at American Family Field. One more ground round with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are here as well. Jennifer, let's talk about having to cover something that you just know is a non-story, but you got to cover it anyway. And that takes us to Scott Walker, who cryptically put out a message yesterday after Governor Evers' announcement. Folks know that Donald Trump is both the 45th and the 47th president, and he's got those goofy-looking red hats with a 45 and a 47 on the side. Well, Scott Walker, in the worst political coincidence in Wisconsin history, was the 45th governor. And if he were to win next year, he'd be the 47th governor. So, of course, he tweets out a picture of a red hat saying 45, 47, and says, make Wisconsin great again on the front of it. Now, there's no credible indication that Scott Walker is going to run for governor. He's making something like $800,000 running this right-wing organization for youth. But, you know, when he does something like that, I mean, that's the classic definition of earned media, because reporters can't help but put that up and say the former governor is tweeting that he might run again, even if he has no intention of it. That's how you work the media.
So the press in Wisconsin and beyond ought to take this opportunity to remind people who Scott Walker is, what he did and didn't do in the state of Wisconsin, and also point out that this is, you know, like political propaganda, if you will, but not, don't only report on the, oh, isn't that cute? Look at the hats. Oh, you know, which unfortunately I think a lot of media has a tendency to do, but take it the next step further. So what happened to Wisconsin when Scott Walker was governor? Let's talk about that. Remind people about that, even if it's just a sentence or two. You know, he had a pretty disruptive time as governor of Wisconsin. The press should talk about that too.
Yeah, not be afraid to go backward. Mark, it took you about 5 seconds for you to drop the word Foxconn when I mentioned it to you a little bit earlier as part of his legacy.
Yeah, and I'm sure the people in Wisconsin have heard plenty about Foxconn, but we certainly have here. But sometimes you need to be reminded about the actual facts of things, because if you remember, you know, Walker and Trump, you know, ballyhooed it as, well, this is some giant triumph of theirs. And obviously it's a boondoggle. And that is just stenciled on Scott Walker's forehead, that whole mess. And and people need to remember that. The American public has a tendency to forget things. And that's why the press should be around to remind people of horrible behavior like that.
Yeah, you can't just put out the cute stuff, the entertaining stuff. And Jim, when it comes to Donald Trump, that includes things that might sound a little in the weeds, but are so important. Taking me to a U.S. Supreme Court story that talks about the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Now, we always say that as if it's an organization that puts out product recalls and things like that. But there actually is a Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the U.S. Supreme Court, the conservative justices, said that Donald Trump has the right to fire the three Democratic members of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. That has far-reaching impact as well.
It absolutely does, and it follows in the wake of our Supreme Court saying the same thing with something called the National Labor Relations Board that affects unions and labor in America, a thing called the Merit Systems Protection Board. I know it's very wonky, but those are the people who review, the inappropriate firings of people inside the federal government. All these are under attack, all of them being told that, yes, indeed, as commissioners, the people who make final decisions, you can be terminated. Even though you're an independent agency, the president is not your boss, not created that way. John Roberts and the other five members of our Supreme Court saying, go ahead and fire them. Even while the underlying challenges are unresolved, it is another, just happened this week with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Why is that one important? These are not just the PS, they do the recalls. These are the toys for your children and your grandchildren. These are household goods. These are the things that, frankly, are probably on the screens right now. They're at Civic Media and in everybody's home out there. These are the people who keep us safe. And when you destroy basically the constitution of the people who are making the big decisions there, there's a direct line to making us less secure out there. There's an issue related to lithium batteries that they wanted to stop coming into the country because of the danger. And that also got Donald Trump's ire, in addition to their complaining about staffing reductions. We can't do our job, Mr. President, if we keep doing these things. He gets upset. He says, you're gone. That's illegal. It is not legal. And yet the Supreme Court puts its stamp of approval on it.
I don't have a question here for you. I'm just simply going to say that for the entirety of the Biden presidency, when people said Louis DeJoy is a Trump, toady, why is he the commissioner of the U.S. Postal Service? Get rid of him. And the word we kept hearing from the administration is, well, to do that, we'd have to fire members of the Board of Governors, and then they would vote on a new Postmaster General. And, that would be untoward. We can't break with tradition and fire those members. Mark, I hope we never hear anything like that again.
Yeah, well, right now, you got to fight. And in Congress, right now you have some members wanting to do bipartisanship, and I just think those days are over right now. It's fold or fight time, and let's fight. It just seems like obstruction is patriotic right now. If when you're talking about what's happening in our government, is stopping them from doing horrible things is a great act of patriotism.
Which lets us end where we began with Governor Evers and his ability to be a hockey goalie for 8 years with, a legislature that was as far right as it was. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Scholze, Jim Santel, thank you so much as always. Have a great start to your weekends.
You too. Bye, everybody.
Always good to see you all. In our next hour, we will have Mike Clemens along talking about sports. And first, a visit with State Assembly Rep. Lee Snodgrass of Appleton. I am Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Another meeting today between the woman at the center of the Jeffrey Epstein case and the number two official at the Department of Justice.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche has more questions for Jeffrey Epstein's former companion, Ghislaine Maxwell. Sources told ABC News Maxwell initiated the meeting as she appeals her conviction and tries to get out of a 20-year prison sentence. Her attorney told us she answered every question.
ABC Chief Investigative Correspondent Aaron Katursky at the federal courthouse in Tallahassee, Florida, where the discussions are happening. Israeli strikes continuing across Gaza, and experts warn that Palestinians are on the brink of famine. The aid group Doctors Without Borders says one in four children and pregnant or nursing women are currently malnourished. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says hospitals have recorded 9 new deaths due to starvation over the past 24 hours. Disgraced former Congressman George Santos expected to begin serving a 7-year prison sentence for fraud today. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding